The Lord be with you. It's always a good sign to see when half the church heads back whenever children's church begins. That means we have some life in the church. It's always a good thing to have. So today what we're going to be doing is we're going to continue working through this series of Advent. This is the final Sunday of Advent, as we know is next week. Will be Christmas. And yes, basically if it shocks you, we are having church on Christmas. If you didn't know Christ Mass, it comes about Jesus. So yeah, we're going to worship Jesus on Christmas. But through this season of Advent, what we've seen is we've been working through some of the major themes, right? As Christ arrives, as he enters history in human form, he brings with him certain things, right? In the beginning, we saw that he brings the advent of hope. Right? Then we saw that as Russ preached, we see the advent of love, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And then we see later through Mike, we see the advent of joy, right? Because of the presence of Christ now, the reality of Christ, we now have the coming, the arrival of joy in his presence. And now, finally, for the end of this series of Advent, what we're going to be looking at is the advent of peace. How when Christ came, he also brought us peace. And if you haven't already turned there, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. That's where we are going to be this morning. And I'm going to be looking, she read today verses 8 to 14, but really it'll continue all the way to the end, to verse 20 there. So I'm sure this is a story that many of us are familiar with, right? This is the classic Christmas narrative, right? Where we see in this, we see that there are these shepherds here, right? Some anonymous shepherds. And the anonymous shepherds, they're just doing what they do regularly, right? It's an average, ordinary day for them, right? They're just taking care of their sheep, right? Their flock. They're just watching over them, doing what they need to do. And all of a sudden, something drastically changes. All of a sudden, there's this angel that appears. It doesn't say the name. It could be potentially Gabriel. We know that Gabriel had some connections with the one pronouncing that Christ is going to be coming to Mary and things of that sort. But it doesn't give us a name. It just says that there's an angel that comes, and it says that the glory of God is radiating with him or through him, is showing with him. And it says that as the angel comes, it says that the shepherds, right? They're terrified. It says they're greatly afraid. Right? So they are fearful of this angel with the radiance of God's glory being there present with them. And what the angel basically tells them is not to be afraid, rather that he has come to bear witness to them, to give them good news or glad tidings. That's actually the word we get gospel from. So basically what he's saying is the angel says, I've come to preach the gospel to you. And what the gospel is that there is to you a son, a child who was born, who is the Savior of the world, right? And he basically tells them then that there's going to be a sign, that there will be of a virgin, that this child will be wrapped in swaddling cloths, right? They'll be in Bethlehem. And then right after this announcement is being made, all of a sudden it says that not only is there one angel, but it says that there is a multitude of heavenly hosts that begin to praise God. So if you can just imagine myriads and myriads of angels, maybe millions of angels. That also, so if that one little angel scared them, now imagine when you have an army of angels, and not only are they just talking, but now they are like singing praise choruses, glorifying God. And the reason that they glorify God, it says in verse 14, because on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That is the glad tidings of great joy that they come to pronounce, that there is now going to be peace on the earth. And so then from that proclamation and from this radical experience that these shepherds, these anonymous shepherds experience, they say, let us go find this child. So they go, they search, they find the right place, right, where Jesus has been born, and they are just in awe. They're in wonder, and they find peace. And from that moment, it says, what do they go do? It says they start to make widely known the message that they had heard. And all of those who hear it also begin to marvel. So that's the story that we are probably pretty familiar with. And as I said, we want to focus today on the advent of peace through this scripture. And so the first thing that I would just want to draw your attention, and I think that we can learn from this text, is that I think as human beings, I think it's pretty common knowledge that our default in life is fear. Right? We get scared, anxious, right? We get depressed or nervous about what is to come daily in our lives. Think about this. As a young age, you don't have to even really be taught this. As a child, you start to what? Fear the dark. Right? You start to be afraid and need a nightlight sometimes. Or need to go be with mom and dad in bed. Think about fear of public speaking. There's many that probably would die right now if they had to come up here and give a 10-minute presentation. But we have a fear of public speaking. We have a fear of going to the doctor or the dentist. We have the fear of swimming in the ocean. Are there anybody out there that doesn't like to go swim in the ocean? They just like to look at it? Yeah, I know there's some people out there that are like that. But here's the funny thing is there is people, myself included, who get anxious or worried or fearful when there is nothing going wrong. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been like that? Life is going fine. Your finances are okay. Everyone in your household is healthy, right? Like you're not worried about where your next meal is going to come from. You're not, you know, there's nothing really bad going on and you're still anxious. You're still thinking about what might happen in the future for your relationship, for your health, for your finances. You start to fear about something that's not even real. Right? But I think what we see in this text in verse 9 is that the shepherds are revealing our human condition. Because in verse 9, as I said, it says the shepherds, they were greatly afraid. Now, I understand and I'm sure that many of you are like, well, I'm sure if you saw an angel, that's a little different than swimming in the ocean, right? Because, I mean, they're these supernatural creatures. Of course there's reason to be afraid, and I understand that. And I think that there is some reason to be afraid sometimes, right? There is reason that might cause us to be a little, whoa, this is something different here. But I think what they are showing us as shepherds, just like all humans, we just are default to respond to new things, to intimidating things, to life in general. We get anxious. We become fearful. And I think what this is revealing is that when we have a separation from God, we experience a lack of peace. That's what fear really is. You understand that, right? Fear is a lack of peace. I have my buddy Russ here, and I love to jump out and scare him because I know that he jumps pretty easily, and I know there's a couple other in the room that like to do it as well. And I just know he talks to me. We've talked about this before, and he's just like, I just want peace. Just give me peace, right? Because he understands that's the contrast, right? When we are fearing what is to come, fearing tomorrow, fearing what might happen, right? We are not having what we hope to have, which is that peace, that contentment. And so I think that is what we're seeing here. The shepherds, they didn't have the knowledge yet of God in the flesh, that God has come. And so they are fearful. Like many of us, we experience this fear, this angst. And I think it's interesting that even sin itself, I think, is a result of our fear. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we don't always think of when you sin, it's because you're afraid. But just think about it for a second. Why do you lie? Why does someone lie? Because you're afraid of what they might find out to be true. Right? They might realize that you're not as great as you might make yourself seem, or they might find out that you did something really bad, right? So you lie to make yourself look better, right? What about when you steal? Why do people steal food or steal money? Because they are afraid what might happen if they didn't. Maybe they might starve. Maybe they might not be able to pay this bill. Maybe they wouldn't feel like they're as good as everybody else because they don't have what everybody else has. Or maybe they feel like they need to elevate and make themselves look better by having this stuff. We steal because of fear. Or why do people start to pursue relationships that are unhealthy when they know that they shouldn't be doing this? They shouldn't be having sex before marriage or outside of marriage, right? Why do they do that? It's because they have a fear of being alone. They want to have someone to be with them, to know that someone loves them, cares for them. But the thing is, all of these are sins, but it's all coming from our spiritual condition of fear. Even Adam and Eve, if you think about it, at the very beginning, What did the serpent say? It says that God is misleading you, that the reason that you shouldn't be taking from this tree is because really you'll be like God. And so they start to think to themselves, wait, are we missing out on something? Is God lying to us? There's this fear, this anxiety of maybe we're not good enough, or maybe we should be doing something to make ourselves better. So they have some insecurities about themselves of what they don't have. They want this knowledge of good and evil. And so then they go and they disobey God. See, I think we see that fear is regularly among us in our lives. It's our default position, I think, when we are separating ourselves from God and the reality of His peace. But I think it's so important that we remember that the Bible constantly is reminding us not to fear, not to worry, not to be anxious, and not to be afraid. And maybe that's you and something in your life right now. Maybe that's something with your schooling, with your job, with your relationships, with your finances. Maybe it's just something, you know, maybe in your own physical state, right? Maybe it's just something that you just have an ongoing angst or anxiety that just builds up, and there's not, like I said, nothing even really going wrong right now. This message is to remind you, God has peace for you. He's saying, do not fear, do not worry, do not be afraid. And in verse 10, that's exactly what we see the angels say. Every time that the angels come on the scene, or when Jesus comes on the scene and you see that they're terrified, they're all scatterbrained, right? The world looks like it's just caving in on them. The message is, do not be afraid. Do not fear, because they came with what? Glad tidings of great joy. They have a message for the shepherds. And God has a message, I think, for us. And that message is that His gospel, God's gospel, is peace. In verse 14, the angels praise God for the good news of salvation through Jesus, because on earth there will be peace and goodwill toward men. That is why Jesus came. The gospel, like I said, the gospel means good news, right? God's gospel, His good news, is that He has come to give you peace. God came to calm our restless souls and bring us peace finally to the earth. That should be so encouraging for us. See, God, being the just judge and king of the universe, knowing our sinful state, knowing our rebellion, knowing how fearful we are and how often we don't trust in Him and we doubt all the time, He reminds us with this Christmas narrative, I still love you. I've come to send my Son for you so that you can actually have peace. And the word peace, it's interesting. It's in the Jewish context, which this would have been highly influencing the New Testament, as the Jews, right? They would use shalom as a greeting or as a departure. You would say shalom to your brother or sister that was a fellow Israelite. But the word shalom, which as translated peace, it means more than just the absence of war. Now, that's a good thing, right? We don't want to be always in war, right? We know that there's, in this time, we have that fear of potential battles or wars that may arise in our time, right? But shalom or peace that the New Testament and the Old Testament that they're referring to, it's so much greater than that, actually. The word shalom, it means well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, completeness, wholeness. So whenever we're seeing in the text that it says that God has come sending His Son to give you peace, what it really is saying is God has come to make you whole. See, in this world, we constantly have these battles. We have these things that we fall, we sin, we make mistakes, we get scared, and we start to break ourselves apart spiritually. We're all broken people. But when Jesus comes, He's literally coming to take every single broken piece, every shattered piece of our souls, and He puts it back together, fully formed, whole again, and better than ever before. That is what shalom is, and that's why I love this concept in the Bible of this peace of the Lord, the shalom of the Lord, is that He is coming to make you whole, complete, fix every broken piece in your life, and make you greater and better than you were before. So it really has to do more with our character than our circumstances. You can actually have the peace, the gospel of peace in your life, even when the circumstances are bad. That's the good news here. But we go on in verse 11 and we are reminded that it's so important that we are not talking about peace as a concept, right? An abstract idea of, yeah, it'd be great to have peace, right? As a thing. Rather, we need to recognize that peace is a person. Peace is a person. In verse 11, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You don't have peace without Christ. You might have a day where things seem to be going right, but as I said, there's that anxiety, there's that worry, there's that fear, there's that thing that's going to always happen later in life that's going to start shaking you and rocking the boat. But whenever you have Jesus, you have the true person of peace. In fact, Isaiah 9:6, right? This is a verse that I'm actually going to be unpacking later tonight at our candlelight service. But Isaiah, the prophet, writes 700 plus years before Jesus is born, writing about this day that the angels are proclaiming here. And in it, it says that he will be called the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one who will usher in the peace. Only the one who is the prince, who has the authority, is able to do something like this. So Jesus, we see, is our peace. And in fact, John 14:27, Jesus says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Once again, someone needs to hear that, I think, this morning. Jesus is saying, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You can have it. It comes from him. In his presence, there is peace." He says, "I'm giving," and it's not like the world. It's not like the way where one day things are going good and you have a little bit of contentment, all of a sudden bad things happen again. No, even through the bad circumstances, the dark, heavy world, Christ says, "I'm giving you this peace, and it's going to last forever." It's the gospel of peace. It's good news of peace. Or think about Psalm 23. I'm sure many of us here can recite it. I love the 23rd Psalm. But just think, the Lord is my shepherd, or Jesus says he's the good shepherd or the true shepherd. So Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I have all that I need when I have Jesus. That's peace. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. How beautiful. He leads me beside the still waters. That is peaceful waters. He takes us to these peaceful places. He restores our soul. That is that shalom, bringing us back together. He restores us, makes us whole again. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. There's no fear because we have the peace. See that? You can just go on and on. It says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They give peace to me." We see all of these beautiful things described in when we have Christ with us, when we are in his presence. We see this shalom of God. And then we see in Mark 4, this is the last one on this specific point that I'll read. But Mark 4, 35 to 41. "On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" See, I love this when it comes to thinking about Christ bringing us peace. See, they're in this storm on the water, right? And I'm sure that there's something like this, and maybe you've been under a bad storm before, and maybe you've got a little anxious or a little nervous. Maybe you heard some of the tree branches hitting the window or hitting the roof, right? You get really, you know, uptight, anxious. But this is more severe because they're actually in a boat where there's the waves crashing down. And it says the boat's even filling up, and they're freaking out. But I love the contrast between them and Jesus. He is asleep. Soundly asleep on a pillow. I love that it adds, he has a nice little pillow. Think how he's nice and nestled up, comfy. Right? That is the difference between when we are separated from God, thinking about our own will, our own power, our own might, our own wealth, and when we're in the peace of God. So then they go and wake him up, and they say, do you not care? And maybe you've prayed that prayer to God. God, do you not care? I'm going through this. And then when you call Jesus, he doesn't just say, ignore you, and then go back to sleep. No, Jesus comes, and he literally says, peace, be still. He's saying that to you, and he'll say that to circumstances that we start to battle against. He'll say, peace, be still. And what happens? It says the wind and the waves obey him. There is nothing that will not obey Christ if he speaks. If he commands it, peace, be still, it will be still. Right? So Jesus, he does this, and then he questions them. He asks, why do you have such little faith? Do not be afraid. Do not be fearful. Have the peace of the Lord. That's what Jesus came to give us, so that we aren't like these fishermen freaking out in this boat, in this storm of life. Rather, we have Jesus in the boat with us. Jesus is with us. We have the peace of God with us because he came to the earth. And in verses 10 and 14, we are reminded that this peace, his peace, is for the whole world. This is good news. So you're not that person that, you know, I'm talking to the majority, but you're that one outlier that really the peace isn't for you. No, this is a reminder. God is offering this peace to the whole world. Verse 10, it says, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, peace. So we have to all people and to the earth. We have this emphasis of a universal gospel message that is available for anyone that wants it, that all they have to do is repent of their sins and place faith in Christ. That's all you got to do, and you have that peace. Call on them like the fishermen did, like the disciples did. Lord, we need your help. Say, Lord, I need your help. I want your peace. I want to be made whole. I want to honor and live for you. This is available, and I love it more than just verse 10 and 14, but really the whole narrative of this text is, who is this message given to? It's given to these anonymous shepherds. We don't have their names. We don't know where they lived, where they stayed after this. We don't know anything about their life story other than what we see in Luke chapter 2. And I think it's so interesting because God, he could have given this revelation to anyone. He could have gave it to the kings, the highest authority, right? He could have given it to the priests, the ones who really were studying and knew the Bible really well, or one of the scribes, religious leaders. No, he doesn't do that. Rather, he gives it to these anonymous shepherds who were outcasts typically in society and actually viewed as unclean because they dealt with all these animals all the time. So think, he chose the lowly. He chose the meek. He chose those who were willing to place faith. And they are the ones who heard the message of peace. See, I think the shepherds are a symbol for the world. That it doesn't matter how lowly, it doesn't matter who you are, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is available. His peace is for you because God does not just call the rich and the mighty. He calls the poor and the lowly. So this peace is for anyone who hears my voice. His peace is for the world. His gospel is peace. So we see our default is fear. We see his gospel is peace. And then the final thing that I want to draw from this text is that we are to make peace on earth. See, in verses 17 to 18, it says, now when they had seen him, so just imagine, they got to see Jesus in the manger, right? Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. See, it's interesting. See, the shepherds were afraid at the beginning. They hear the message from the angels. They go, experience it for themselves, and then they do exactly what the angels just did. They start to go tell people the gospel of peace. See, the shepherds become peacemakers. If you remember Jesus, whenever he teaches one of the greatest sermons ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, what do we see? It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." That is what is an attribute of being a Christian. A Christian is a peacemaker. Because once you have received the peace of God, once you've recognized that God through Jesus, the Savior, has come to reconcile us to Him, we now not only do we have peace with God, but now we can also have peace with one another. He says, now that you've received and understood the peace that God has given you, He's made you whole, you want to go help others become whole. And so the shepherds, they weren't told, hey, now that you've seen baby Jesus, make sure you go and tell everybody. No, it was just an automatic reaction. You see people hurting. You see people broken. You want them to find the peace that you have found. So if you're that Christian that, hey, you have that peace, great. Go share it with the world. Go make peace with the world. In Colossians 3:15 it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body to be thankful." We are to keep the peace of Christ in our hearts, and we are to make it known to the world. And I think it's so important that I emphasize this. It is, we are peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Right? Now, it's good to keep the peace. You don't want to antagonize those who are already peaceful, sure. But this is more than that. This is saying you are to go and make peace where there is not peace. You are to share the gospel. You are to live out a Christian life for those who do not know Him yet. It's easy to be peaceful when everybody else is peaceful, but you're actually supposed to go and make peace. Share the gospel of hope, the gospel of peace. Share this to the world, because as we promote peace, we are showing that we are following the Prince of Peace. See, the Prince of Peace, who is ushering it into the world, it would be really counterintuitive if we're the ones always dividing. If we're dividing all the time, but He's bringing peace, are we really following Him? He is the one who brings peace, and we then, as we experience that, we are to go and share that peace with others. Because this world, as we know, it is filled with chaos, it is filled with division, and as we see in the story, it is filled with fear. And if you are that Christian, if you are that person who is following the Lord, that loves the Lord, that knows His peace, don't follow the current of the world. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. Don't be that person that's always feeling like you have to insert yourself with your opinion to cause arguments or division. Try to bring peace to every single sphere of your life. Bring peace to your home. Bring peace to your community. Bring peace to your school. Peace to your job. Bring peace. Make peace, because Christ did it for us. Let us pray. Father, we love You. We are so grateful for the good news of salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who comes to bring us true shalom, peace. That we can have peace with You, for though we sinned, You came to make things right. You brought us back because You love us. And Lord, that we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to be fearful, because when we have Your presence, we will always have Your peace. And Lord, I pray that we not only would enjoy the peace You have given us, but Lord, that we would also make peace in the world, that we would bring heaven down to earth, that others would experience and know Your peace, that they would hear the gospel of peace. We love You, we thank You, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.